For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. We will read the first 20 verses. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And there we read God's holy word, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall to be all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said unto one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Verse 11 of Luke chapter 2, where we read the text of the sermon, God's holy word, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Beloved congregation, when a child is born, parents are asked to register the newborn child with the government. You need to fill in all kinds of information, such as date of birth, first name and last name, where it is born, and the baby's weight. And after this, you can apply for a birth certificate, which you need when you apply for a passport, a health card, or a social insurance number. Well, this morning we will listen to a birth announcement of the Lord Jesus. And as it were, we hear what is stated on his birth certificate. His birth certificate is very special, since not an officer, but an angel will disclose something of its contents. The theme of the sermon is the birth announcement of the Lord Jesus. We will pay attention to date of birth, his identity, and his family. The birth announcement of the Lord Jesus. Date of birth, his identity, and his family. First of all, his date of birth. And maybe you frown by hearing this first point, and you wonder, can we say something meaningful about Christ's date of birth? Who can tell when the Lord Jesus was born exactly? We already know that the first year of our calendar can't be the year of Christ's birth. The Jewish historian Josephus believes that Jesus was born about 6 years earlier. Neither do we exactly know in what season he was born. And maybe you know that the text of the traditional English song, the First Noel, says that he was born on a cold winter's night. But that is not what we can state with certainty. So we don't know when the Lord Jesus is born. No, that's right. We know for sure that he is born, but we don't know when. And yet there's more we can say, because our text speaks about a certain day, namely this day. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This day. What does that mean? Well, let us try to picture the scene that is described by Luke, the author of the Gospel. We picture a group of shepherds in the fields of Ephrata, Bethlehem. And do you see them, children, sitting around a fire? The fire warms them since the nights are cold in Israel. And at the same time, fire keeps wild animals at a distance. But to keep us from forming a romantic picture of shepherds, I need to tell you something about shepherds in natural in the New Testament. The life of a shepherd was rough and tough. Shepherds had to undergo many difficulties. There was always the danger of wild animals. And their life was rough also because they were considered to be outcasts. They did not count in society. Shepherds had a bad reputation with the Jewish leaders. They lived out in the fields, unable to strictly keep the ceremonial laws of David. So they did not enjoy a good reputation. They were regarded as liars and robbers. And therefore, they were not allowed to act as witness in court because they were not trustworthy. That's why they were of the lowest class of men in Israel, with the exception of lepers. Well, do you still see them sitting around the fire? Maybe they were sitting there silently. Maybe they were talking to each other. But then all of a sudden, an angel appears to the shepherds and is clothed with heavenly splendor. Divine glory shines in the fields of Ephrata. And the shepherds are filled with fear. They're shocked, for sure. They're sorely frightened by the glory and majesty that shone around them. They're gripped with fear. And before they realize what is happening, the angel speaks comforting words to them. Verse 10 through 12, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." This must have been very impressive to the shepherds, especially when a legion of angels came after the proclamation of the one angel. A multitude of heavenly hosts appeared, praising God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And every time when Luke describes an important act of God in the history of redemption, an angel appears. Recall Jesus in the wilderness after he was tempted, or when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, or when the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, and when he ascended to heaven. Angels witnessed it and fulfill a special role. They are messengers of God and witnesses of divine actions. The angels look eagerly toward to God fulfilling his word. And in our story, we read about an angel who fulfilled a certain role. What? Well, he was the messenger of God to proclaim the birth of the Lord Jesus to the shepherds. Why did an angel reveal this greatest and joyous news of the world to them and not to the citizens of Bethlehem, who are more trustworthy, more reliable? Why did he share good tidings in the middle of the night and not during the day when many people are up? In the middle of the night, only these shepherds are awake. Why to them? Ever thought of this, children? The angels came in the middle of the night to the shepherds. When would you go to someone at night? Well, when something cannot wait for the day, for the next day. When there is something very important that must be told right away. Well, that's happening here. Angels have just witnessed a miracle on earth. Something that has never happened before and will not happen again. Something that is of the greatest importance. Something which God's people had been waiting for. For how long? Well, not for a week, but for centuries. And what can that be? The birth of the promised Messiah, the Savior of Israel, the Christ. And they have witnessed Jesus' birth and rejoiced. God is fulfilling his word promised to Adam and Eve, Abraham, David, and to all the Old Testament believers. And in Jeremiah, we read a promise about the coming Messiah. In chapter 33, he speaks about shepherds and sheep. He prophesies about the restoration of Judah and Israel. And in verse 13, he explains that God will cause that there will be sheep in the wilderness where no man or beast lived. There will be shepherds who will feed their sheep there. Shepherds will go in and out, counting the sheep when they enter the sheepfold. At such a time, the Lord will fulfill his promise. Jeremiah continues in verse 15 and 16. In those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And that word has been fulfilled with the birth of the Lord Jesus. He is the branch of righteousness. He is the son of David. Should God not reveal to the shepherds first that Jeremiah's prophecy is fulfilled? Their witness will be a clear testimony of God fulfilling his promises. And the angels cannot wait to tell this good news to them. God sends them in the hour of Christ's birth. The shepherds need to know that this day God is fulfilling his promises. And behind this, we can notice an urgency of the sender. God wants them to know great tidings. And therefore an angel appears before the shepherds and say to them, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We can learn an important lesson. God is faithful to his word and always comes on time. The Lord lets his word get fulfilled in due time. That is according to his timing, according to his counsel. And of his counsel, we can say that it is nothing but good and wise. That means that God fulfills his promises always differently than we expect. He fulfills his promises according to his wise plan. And then it will be good, though we may not understand the Lord's ways. The shepherds did not expect an announcement like this. They did not sit together pondering when the Messiah would be born and whether they would hear about it tonight. No. The Lord always fulfills his promises surprisingly. Well, no one knows about it. But when he fulfills, then it must be made known. And that's the reason why you are under the preaching of the gospel, also at home. Why? Because the Savior is born. This day, says the angel. You say, that's 2,000 years ago. Yes, that is true. But its effect is infinite. The shepherds are the first, but not the only ones, who will benefit from the miraculous birth. The good news of his birth is spread all over the world. The shepherds are the first evangelists of the New Testament. Today is born. And it also means that its effect is not limited to the event itself. This day means that his birth has its effect from this day on. And it will change the whole world. The message which the angel proclaimed to the shepherds still has power today. It proclaims the salvation that can be found with this child of Bethlehem. And today the same message comes to you and me. For unto you is born this day. That is God's proclamation of salvation that cannot suffer any delay. It is preached to you again, since you need to know the child of Bethlehem. God wants you to repent of sin and turn to him. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What is your response to this gospel message? Did you already repent from sin, seeking life with the Lord Jesus? The shepherds hear the gospel preached by the angel. And we are still wondering why the angel proclaimed this to them. We saw that the message is urgent, but it is also a message they need to hear. The message is urgent because of its content. And what is the content? Well, that in the city of David, a Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. And this discloses to us the identity of the Lord Jesus, our second thought. The angel announces his identity. The name Jesus is not announced, but his identity. What is his identity? Well, that he is the Savior. A Savior. He is the promised Son of David, Christ the Lord. The name Savior does occur often in the Old Testament. For instance, in the Psalms, God is the God of salvation. Also, the prophet Isaiah says that God is the God of my salvation. God saves. He delivers from enemies. In the times of the judges, the Lord raised up a deliverer, a savior, to expel the Philistines. A savior helps in time of need and obtains peace again. And with Zechariah's benediction, we find the same language. He says that the Messiah will save from enemies so that his people will serve him without fear. Savior and salvation are closely connected. The Savior has come to grant salvation. And the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua, Joshua. And we recognize the name Jesus. And what is the meaning of his name? Do you remember, children? What did the angel say to Joseph when the angel told him that Mary would give birth to a son? He said to Joseph, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And this joyous message is a mirror of our misery. Apparently, we are in need of a Savior. Yes, we are in captivity. We are slaves in bondage. That is true. Who are our enemies? Well, we need to be saved from our sin. Therefore, we need to know that the Savior was born. We need deliverance from our sin. What does it mean? Well, not that we need to be saved from sin in general. No, the angel clearly states that his people need to be delivered from their sin. Sin is a personal matter. We can state that we all need to be delivered from sin, meaning from the power of sin and the consequences of sin. And yet, not the sin in this world is the only problem. We need to be saved from our personal sins. On the day of judgment, we must give account of our personal sins, not of the sins of our parents or of the sins of our nation. This is about our personal sins. And do you know of personal sins? Yes, we all commit sin. We all have gone astray. That is the sad conclusion that is applicable to each one of us. Because of my personal sin, I am not right with God. And we all must give account to God. And because of our sin, we are in bondage of sin, very personally. My unbelief, my hardened heart, my inclination to all evil, and so on. Did you already confess that you are accountable for all your sins? The Lord Jesus has come into this world, and he saves from our sins. He is able and willing to save you from your personal sins. The name Savior also means that he makes whole again. He heals. He heals brokenhearted. He heals which we spoil. He has healing power by which he can make us whole again. People who in principle meet the purpose of their life. Are you in need of him? Maybe you say, "I wish I was among the shepherds and had heard this joyous tiding and had gone with them to Bethlehem." Then I would know that I am saved. Well, I wonder if you would feel at home with the shepherds. Recall what I said about them earlier. In society, they were considered to be outcasts. Have you got to know yourself as an outcast? As someone who has no rights? Who is considered to be a liar? That is what we will learn when the Spirit opens our eyes to our real need. I have a deceitful heart. I am bound to sin and death. I am hopeless unless a Savior comes to deliver me. Well, here's the good message. The Savior is born. He is born and has saving power from the very beginning of his life. When the royal prince is born, people are excited. He is the heir to the throne. He's not a king yet, but he will become a king in the future. But how different with the Lord Jesus? He is not the one who will become a savior. He already is the savior of his people. And that is emphasized by the other description of his identity. He is Christ and he is Lord. He is Christ, meaning the anointed one. He is anointed with the Holy Spirit. When? Well, already from eternity. He is king, priest, and prophet who is already exercising his office. We wonder how. Well, look at the little child in the manger. He's completely dependent on Mary's care. Soon Mary will take him in her arms and flee from King Herod to the land of Egypt. What manifests his saving power? Well, that's hidden to us. But meanwhile, he is already fulfilling his task as a savior. From the very beginning of his life, he is the suffering servant of the Lord. He delivers us from all our sins, also from the sin of our youth. He was born in order to save his people completely. From the very beginning of his life, he was fulfilling the will of his Father. And by his birth, he can cover my sins wherein I was conceived and brought forth, says Lord's Day 14 of the Heidelberg Catechism. He also has saving power. He is Lord. He draws the shepherds to the manger and lets them bow before him. He lets them see so much of him that they go out and tell others all they have seen and heard. He is the Savior already in the manger. His birth is connected to his suffering and death. Therefore, he came into this world. He is a Savior who is accessible to everyone and who is able and willing to condescend to everyone's need. How can we be so sure of that? Well, that's what we will see in our third point, as we will pay attention to his family. We read in our text, "For unto you is born this day." And what we read here is very special. For unto you is born this day. Unto you. Why is that so special? Well, the angel does not simply state that a Savior was born, but that he was born for a purpose. He was born to us. He was born to belong to us. Ordinarily, a baby is born to a family. Parents are the ones who receive the gift of the child's life. Well, to whom is the birth of Jesus a gift?
to Mary and Joseph, since they are the parents according to the law, or to God, since Jesus is the Son of God. No, the text says, for unto you is born. He is born to the shepherds and to all those who are in need of a Savior. He is born to all those who have a sinful heart like the shepherds. And in these words, we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah resonate. Chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Unto us, God let his child be born, not for himself, but for others, for those who by nature are his enemies. His birth is only the beginning of all he shall do for us. His birth announcement proclaims the purpose of his birth as well, since he is born for us. Consider for a moment what happened after his birth. He fulfilled all of God's word. He was circumcised on the eighth day. Joseph and Mary presented the Lord Jesus to God according to the law of Moses. He obeyed God's law perfectly. Because of that purpose, he was born. He obeyed God's law perfectly. He was born for us. He preached the kingdom of God and healed the sick. And by all his actions, he demonstrated that he is the promised Messiah. He came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And to that end, he was born. He was born for us. He suffered under the reproach of sin. He was buffeted, spit on, scourged, and nailed to the cross. Therefore, he was born to us. He was born in our family in order to save from sin and guilt. And he did it all by coming into our place, paying the penalty in our stead, perfectly obeying the law in our stead. He has merited eternal life in our stead. And this all was included in the message of the angel to the shepherd, for unto you is born this day. The shepherds needed a Savior, and you need a Savior as well. Therefore, he is born. Nothing needs to be done for your salvation. He offers himself voluntarily. Look at his willingness. Look at his sacrifice. Since our birth, we are focused on self. But when the Lord Jesus was born, he was focused on his people right from the very beginning of his life. Why? Since he was born for us. And the Lord Jesus says to you this morning, my life is for you. And therefore, I want you to give your sinful heart to me so that I can wash it clean. I came to save. Are you in need of such a Savior? Look in the manger, and there we find the Savior born. and on his forehead you can read, "For you." How is that possible? Only because of his love. He so loved the honor of his Father that he was willing to satisfy God's wrath over sin. He so loved his people that he was willing to be humiliated himself. He let himself be laid by Mary in a manger. And when you look in the manger, you will see no special child. But when you look with eyes of faith, then you perceive a perfect Savior who fits with you, miserable sinner. Who can believe that the child in the manger is the Savior? Well, that cannot be believed by anyone. No, indeed, no one will believe that unless he or she is brought to faith. But that is exactly what the baby in the manger does. Because he was born, we can be born again. Because of his birth, we can be regenerated. He has merited life for us. And all those who are drawn to him are born again and will be saved by him. Do you see the shepherds go their way to the manger? How is that possible? Because of the drawing power of the child of Bethlehem, who is the Savior, the Christ, and Lord. And he has all power to draw sinners and to let them look with faith to him. How can they believe? Because they heard, "For unto you is born a Savior." And what they heard was applied by the Spirit to their hearts so that they believed. They believed the word of the angel, the word of God. And you? Do you believe this word as well? It's a personal matter. We need to know him. And you are pointed to him who is still the same. Also this morning you hear the gospel preached, "Unto you is born a Savior." What will be your response? With him is grace to be born again. With him is grace to repent of sin. With him is grace to believe. With him is forgiveness of sin. Is that your desire? To know him and to know him evermore. As long as you stay away from him, you will always look for reasons in yourself to keep going. But how different will this be if we learn to surrender to him of whom it is said that he is born for us? And as long as he is not yours, you will stay outside of Christ and outside the kingdom of God. Come to him and lay your need before him. He alone can perfectly save us from our sin. Then you are truly blessed. Amen.